In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, granted by the same Spirit we may be truly wise, and ever rejoice in his consolation to the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lady of Divine Mercy,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Ignatius,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
All God's angels and saints, in the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
So at the greatest of all prayers, the Mass, and it is the greatest of all prayers, the holy sacrifice of the Mass. I was praying for all of you. We're in the Novena of Divine Mercy, and I started a Novena for all of you. So I placed all of you on the altar in the Mass that this would be the best experience in your life. And Jesus says, ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll be fine. Knock and the door will be open. Whoever asks receives, whoever seeks finds. Whoever knocks, the door will be open. So the Lord will hear my prayer because I trust. Amen?
Amen.
Did you ever, anyone ever write a short email and said, put the letters ASAP on it? Probably every day, right? And you know, of course you know what that means. It means always say a prayer. Amen? Like that? Not that, huh? So, I've turned from paganism into Catholicism, huh? Yeah. You always say a prayer. So, see, it is a real privilege, the fact that you're making this Divine Mercy retreat. We've never had anything like this. And We only had two options in between this talk and the talk before. Either all of us would have to go on a diet and lose about 25 pounds, or we'd have to come here, you know? Because we went from 115 to 165 retreatants. Keep coming in, no? As we say, the more the merrier, right? Okay, so I want to talk... the second talk, I'd like to talk about one of the essential themes in this topic of Divine Mercy. And I'd like to speak about by means of a couple of stories, and then I'd like, God willing, to read one of the numbers that I didn't have enough time to read the last session. So I'd like to start off with a story that one of my priest friends told me some years ago. And he said that there was this woman that was always worrying. We call her a worrywart. And one of her friends said, okay, I've heard that there is a doctor who's been prepared to deal with worry warts. Okay? With worry warts. So she sent her friend to the doctor, and there was an hour consultation every week. And when she saw her friend seemed to be pretty joyful. And after about 6 months, she asked her friend, how's it going with the word wart doctor? And she said, it's great. I'm worrying much, much less. Then she asked her friend, who was very poor, how are you going to pay for that? She said, the worry wart doctor can worry about that. So here's the question. Have you ever worried? How many of you have ever worried? How many more than once? So the topic this morning is we're going to pray that we can try to cope with our worries. So that'll be the topic today. As you're reading through the diary, pray for the grace that we will worry less and trust more. Okay, that's your prayer. Lord, I don't want to worry so much, but I want to trust more. Did you know worry, theologically, sometimes people ask me, is it a sin to worry? It's hard to say exactly, but it's against the virtue of hope. And hope is one of the theological virtues. You've got faith, hope, and charity. Another word for hope is trust. And that's why we're here. Jesus, I trust in you. So during the course of this retreat, let's pray that we would worry less and trust more. Probably the most famous modern saint would be Padre Pio. I say Faustine and John Paul II are among the most famous modern saints. Padre Pio died when I was 12 years old, so he's a relatively modern saint. And I'm not 120 yet, okay? So a modern, he died in 1968, so he's a modern saint. He said, you know some of his proverbs. He said, pray, trust, and don't worry. Have you heard that?
Yes.
That's Padre Pio. Pray, trust, and?
Don't worry.
Can't hear you.
Don't
worry. Okay, pray, trust, and don't worry. So what I'd like to give you a biblical passage, a story from the life of a saint, and I've got a lot of them. I'll give you one of the many stories. Because you notice the saints, they have more problems than us, but they trust more in God. Right? If you read the life of the saint, our life, in comparison with theirs, is a piece of cake. It's a spring breeze, no? It's a Sunday stroll, huh? But they have so much trust in God. So, I'm going to give you a biblical passage that is one of the best biblical passages in the whole world on trust and trying not to worry. And it is in the very heart of the Sermon on the Mount. Have any of you ever read the Sermon on the Mount?
Yes.
Maybe you saw Jonathan Rumi when Jesus was actually dictating to Matthew and he's writing down the Sermon on the Mount. You ever see that scene? From Chosen, huh? So the Sermon on the Mount is Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Then you have the Sermon on the Plain, which is Luke chapter 6, following. As the new priest said, there's something wrong with the microphone and also with you, right? called original sin, huh? Okay, the passage on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, he says, don't worry. We read through chapter 6, the second part, you have the title that says, Divine Providence, don't worry. He says, look at the lilies of the field and look at the birds in the air. Sometimes in the morning I'll look out my window and I'll see some of the birds. And the birds are not worrying about what they're going to eat. And my room is overlooking the cul-de-sac there in them. And often they're eating McDonald's food. It's a leftover hamburger, huh? Now, do you think those birds of the air, the night before, they're thinking that they're going to have to go to McDonald's? And there they are. There's a big piece of bread, and you can even see the effects of original sin in the bird world, because one will get the piece of bread, and another one will try to get it, and he'll try to pull it away from him, no? Have you ever seen a bird flying to a psychologist? Have you? Going to CVS and said, give me a prescription for depression. I've never seen that. Have you? I don't think you'll ever will. So Jesus takes an example from nature. If the birds don't worry about what they're going to eat, what about us? Learn from the birds. They don't worry about what they're going to eat. God provides for them. And we worry. Jesus says, don't worry about what you're going to eat. And he says, don't worry about your clothes. What did he say? He says, seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and everything else will be given you beside. I noticed when I left the space there, if there were Protestants, there would have been a response right away, huh? Seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and everything else will be given you besides. So seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom. Then Jesus gives an example from nature. He says, look at the lilies of the field. Have you ever seen a lily of the field going to a beauty parlor? Have you? And Jesus says, even Solomon in his beautiful array is more beautiful. The flowers of the field are more beautiful than Solomon in all of his array. Seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and everything else will be given you beside. Pray, trust, and don't worry. Pray, trust, and you got it. So in conjunction with a diary, you might read through Matthew chapter 6, the second part. And I've never done this, but I'll probably do it tonight. Count how many times Jesus says, don't worry in that passage. I think it's 5 times. And maybe you can go, and when you're meditating upon Matthew chapter 6, it's the second part, he says, don't worry. And he says, don't worry. And he says, don't worry. And he says, don't worry. Then he says,
don't worry.
He repeats it over and over again because we're slow to understand, aren't we? It's called an Ignatian gospel repetition. Okay, so that's the biblical passage I'd like to lay in your heart in conjunction with the Divine Mercy message. Now I'd like to tell a story from the life of a saint that probably none of you have ever heard of unless you've heard one of my talks on it. I was in Argentina for 5 years, and I was in Chile for 2 years. And Chile has two very famous saints, Santa Teresa de los Andes, who was a Carmelite nun that died when she was about 19, 20 years old. Then the most famous, his name is Father Alberto Hurtado. If you ever want to see a good movie, Crónica de un Hombre Santo. Okay? If you want to see a really good movie, Chronicles of a Holy Man, one of the best movies I've ever seen in my life. It's about 5 hours, no? No. It's in Spanish, but it's translated in English. EWTN showed it a couple years ago. So Spanish is Crónica de un Hombre Santo. In English, we translate it Chronicle of a Holy Man. So here's the story. This is a Jesuit priest who's going to die of pancreatic cancer around 1951-52. And he was the Mother Teresa of Chile. He's the Mother Teresa of Chile, in which he was setting up these homes for the poor, the sick, the street women, the abandoned, the marginalized. And he gave the title of these homes, El Hogar de Cristo. So if you know a little bit of Spanish, Hogar would be the, Hogar de Cristo would be the home of Christ. So he sets up the first one in Santiago, Chile. Then he's going to set up another one, and you have a city in Mexico with the same Colima. So you've got Colima, Mexico, but you've got Colima, Chile. Two different places. So what happens is Father Hurtado barely had enough money to pay for the one in Santiago. But he's already building another one in Colima. So the movie shows him sitting in a room next to the accountants who were trying to pay the bills. So behind the wall, you got the accountants that are, as they say in Mexican Spanish, chismosos. Chismoso is not a person that likes to eat Chuck E. Cheese, but rather a gossiper, okay? The chismosos. They're criticizing him. They say, Father Todd, I mean, he's a good priest, he's a good preacher, but he has no economic sense whatsoever. He does not have a degree in economics from Harvard. He's not working on Wall Street. So they start to criticize him. And so he's sitting in the other room, reflecting, praying, and good. You're a little bit of charades is good for us, right? She opens up the door, and there's an elderly couple who had no children, and the gentleman, el caballero, had some money. And he said, are you Father Otado? Yes, I am. Well, we've heard about your works, and we really are impressed by your works with the poor people. We thought that we support you. So, here's a little donation. So he gives him an envelope, and then Father Tava says, our house is your house. Our home is your home. So they leave, and Father Tava sits down, and he opens up the envelope. And guess what? 1 million de pesos. This is 75 years ago. 1 million de pesos. He goes into the other room with the chismosos. And he says, hombres de poca fe. Hombres de poca fe. Hombres de poca fe. And he throws down the check there on the table, 1 million de pesos, hombre de poca fe, which was enough to pay the bills for Santiago and start the new house in Colima. 1 million. I love the saints. Don't you? I love the saints because they have so much trust in divine providence and divine mercy. And that's the message I want to lay in your hearts in this second talk. Is that we worry too much and we trust too little. And so what I'd like to do is just summarize one of my favorite numbers, which I mentioned at the end of last talk. And that is, Jesus said to St. Faustina, write down this. Let us leave the past to the ocean of God's mercy. Leave the past to God's mercy is like the Pacific and ocean that you've probably seen before, huh? I've seen both the Pacific and the Atlantic from being from the East Coast, huh? God's mercy is like all the oceans put together. Jesus said, even the seraphim and the cherubim cannot understand the infinite ocean of God's mercy. Now, the seraphim, the cherubim, those are the highest angels. Aside from God Himself and the Blessed Mother, they're the most brilliant in heaven. Are the seraphim and the cherubim? They can't even fathom the depths of God's infinite mercy. So let's leave our past to God's infinite mercy. One of our problems, a lot of us are still living in the past. Hello? A lot of us are still living in the past. And that prevents us from living the sacrament of the present moment. Sometimes I like to use sports analogies. My favorite sport is baseball. I like baseball. So I played baseball at high school. I played at Villanova. Maybe heard of Villanova, no? I couldn't play the basketball team, but if you're 5'9", you're not going to make it, no? But you can play second base. You got quick hands, no? Jose Altuve is only 5'6", huh? So I know baseball probably better than most of you. I know this. If you're a professional baseball, a hitter, if you strike out, I'm a loser. There's no professional baseball player that after he strikes out and says, I'm a loser, I'm going back to the minor leagues, no? Or we're going back to Little League, no. What are they going to think? Next time, I'm going to get a single, double, triple. If the bases are loaded, I'll hit a grand slam. They would not be in the majors. They did not have the attitude, if I strike out, next time I'm going to do better. Do you know the best hitter in baseball is going to fail, 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 succeed, succeed, succeed. You're batting 300. You're batting 300. Look at the stats. You're batting 300. You're one of the best hitters in all of baseball. So if we fail, we strike out, get up, and hit the ball again. Use the baseball analogy. You're playing football, you're tackled, are you going to lay on the ground the rest of the game? In the mud? Good luck, pal. Get up. You get a touchdown, huh? Learn from sports. Learn from sports. So many of us are encrusted in the Middle Ages of our own lives. We're living in the past. If you live in the past, you're not going to be able to live in the present. Then many of us also were worried about the future. We're living in the past, we're worried about the future, and as a result of that, we're not taking advantage of the present moment. That's my message this morning. That's why I invite you to read and meditate number 2, if you like, in which Faustina says, I leave the past to God's ocean of infinite mercy. Leave the past. And I leave the future to divine providence. And then she says, and I live like a baby in the arms of a mother. So let's pray for the grace, my friends. You have worries, but what are you going to do with the worries? St. Peter says, cast your worries upon the Lord because He cares for you. Amen? Amen? Cast your cares upon the Lord because He cares for you. So I think that for me, in reading the Diary of St. Faustina, that's one of the most important concepts because everyone is worrying. Okay? We're living in a world of worriers because we don't pray enough and we don't trust enough. So let's beg for the grace, my friend, in this, not to worry. Remember the words of Padre Pio, remember the words of St. Faustina, to pray, to trust, and don't worry. Amen?
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners now at the hour of our death. Amen. Is there an announcement? Okay. Just be seated.